Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit. Father Joseph Gambala is our pastor, Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss are our technical wizards, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is about Ezekiel, study of the prophetic books, and this is part two in a series. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, teach me the sacred art of attentive listening. Illuminate my understanding of the profound power that lies in not merely hearing with my ears, but also with the depths of my heart. Enable me to become a vessel for effective and compassionate communication, recognizing that the ability to listen and share your message of love is the divine and transformative gift. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Ezekiel lives and is contemporary to Jeremiah and Daniel. He lives about 100, 150 years after Isaiah, and he lives during the time of the Babylonian captivity. And in the year 598 BC, Jerusalem was surrounded by Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar. They lay siege to the city, but they did not destroy it because they came to an agreement with the people in Jerusalem to become a vassal state, to pay tribute or pay rent to the Babylonians. And to ensure that, some people were taken into exile. And they took the very best. They took the brightest, the most educated people, and they took them into exile. And among those taken into exile was Ezekiel. He was a young man studying for the priesthood. He was 30 years old. This was the year he was going to become a priest, and his dreams were shattered. And to govern the city of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar set up Zedekiah, one of the sons of the king, to become the king regent of Jerusalem and do everything in obedience to Nebuchadnezzar. And Zedekiah did that for about 12 years, and then he got kind of bold on his own part, and he decided to withhold the tribute. He thought he had Egypt at his back. They were going to come to their aid and fight the Babylonians, and they did not. So Nebuchadnezzar came back, easily captured the city, captured Zedekiah, killed all his sons in front of his eyes, and blinded him. Then a bit later, the temple is destroyed. Actually, the temple was destroyed as a part of this invasion. And this was something the Lord had threatened through the prophecies of Ezekiel, but nobody was listening. So now Jerusalem is in ruins. The people are dead or in flight. And only the exiles in Babylon with Ezekiel see hope in the present moment. So we'll begin with Ezekiel chapter 34, Parable of the Shepherds. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been pasturing themselves. Should not shepherds pasture the flock? In other words, he's saying those who are supposed to be taking care of others, they're not. You consume milk, wore wool, and slaughtered fatlings, but the flock you did not pasture. You did not strengthen the weak, nor heal the sick, nor bind up the injured. You did not bring back the stray or seek the lost, but ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered for lack of a shepherd and became food for all the wild beasts. They were scattered and wandered over all the mountains and high hills, over the entire surface of the earth. My sheep were scattered. No one looked after them or searched for them. So the Lord is describing what the high priests and the rulers in Jerusalem failed to do to protect and help the people. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, oracle of the Lord God, because my sheep became plunder, because my sheep became food for wild beasts, for lack of a shepherd, because my shepherds did not look after my sheep, but pastured themselves and did not pasture my sheep, therefore, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, look, I am coming against these shepherds. I will take my sheep out of their hand and put a stop to their shepherding my flock, so that these shepherds will no longer pasture them. I will deliver my flock from their mouths, so it will not become their food. For thus says the Lord God, look, I myself will search for my sheep and examine them. As a shepherd examines his flock while he himself is among his scattered sheep, so I will examine my sheep. I will deliver them from every place where they were scattered on the day of dark clouds. I will lead them out from among the peoples and gather them from the lands. I will bring them back to their own country and pasture them upon mountains of Israel, in the ravines and every inhabited place in the land. In good pastures I will pasture them. On the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down on good grazing ground. In rich pastures they will be pastured on the mountains of Israel. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest. Oracle of the Lord God. The lost I will search out. The strays I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd them in judgment. It's very much like the Beatitudes. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. Was it not enough for you to graze on the best pasture, but you had to trample the rest of your pastures with your hooves, or to drink the clearest water, that you had to pollute the rest with your hooves? Thus my flock had to graze on what your hooves had trampled and drink what your hooves had polluted. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will judge between the fat and the lean. Because you push with flank and shoulder and butt all the weak sheep with your horns until you drive them off, I will save my flock so they can no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will appoint one shepherd over them to pasture them, my servant David. He shall pasture them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince in their midst. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the country of wild beasts, so they will dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the forests. I will settle them around my hill and send rain in its seasons, the blessings of abundant rain. The trees of the field shall bear their fruits and the land its crops, and they shall dwell securely on their own soil. They shall know that I am the Lord God when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the power of those who enslave them. So the Lord speaks of a shepherd and my servant David, and he's alluding to the Davidic covenant, which says that a Messiah will come to shepherd all peoples. And then the Lord says he will protect his people. They shall no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will the wild beasts devour them, but they shall dwell securely with no one to frighten them, which will prepare them for my peaceful fields for planting, so they are never again swept away by famine in the land or bear taunts from the nations. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they are my people, the house of Israel, oracle of the Lord God. Yes, you are my flock. You people are the flock of my pasture, and I am your God, oracle of the Lord God. So in contrast to earlier prophecies, the word of the Lord now describes his mercy for those who acknowledge him and live in his ways. So those that he was so disappointed in have now suffered terribly with the fall of Jerusalem. And now he's speaking more to the remnant and those who need to be saved, the faithful remnant that needs to be shepherded. So in verse 23, the Lord speaks of appointing one shepherd after the model of David to look after his flock. And this reference, of course, is to a Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Lord says he'll make a covenant of peace with his people. Those who love the Lord will want for nothing. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they are my people, the house of Israel. So the covenant that the Lord made with Abraham all the way back is that, yes, they are indeed his people. He is their God. And so that pact is still intact, but people need to have faith. They need to believe. Those who remained in Jerusalem in 586 during the second Babylonian invasion have now been scattered. The Lord has used Babylon as a tool to both chastise and end the evil that affected the priests and the leaders of that city, and the temple has been destroyed. But a faithful remnant still endures in Babylon in exile. And these people will be led by the Lord to rebuild his holy city and the temple. Now, the nation of Edom, has participated in the destruction of Jerusalem. Edom means red. Edom is the land that was founded by Esau, the brother of Jacob, and it's just south of Jerusalem. They joined in with Babylon when Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Lord now calls upon Ezekiel to prophesy about the fate and the future destruction of Edom as well. So the word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in its land, they defiled it with their behavior and their deeds. So I poured out my fury upon them for the blood they poured out on the ground and for the idols with which they defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through other lands. According to their behavior and their deeds, I carried out judgment against them. But when they came to the nations where they went, they desecrated my holy name. For people said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' yet they had to leave their land. So I relented because of my holy name, which the house of Israel desecrated among the nations to which they came. Therefore say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God, not for your sake do I act, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you desecrated among the nations to which you came. But I will show the holiness of my great name, desecrated among the nations, in whose midst you desecrated it. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, oracle of the Lord God. When through you I shall show my holiness before their very eyes, I will take you away from among the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you back to your own soil. I will sprinkle clean water over you to make you clean. From all your impurities and all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you so that you can walk in my statutes, observe my ordinances, and keep them. You will live in the land I gave to your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your impurities. I will summon the grain and make it plentiful. I will not send famine against you. I will increase the fruit on your trees and the crops in your fields so that you no longer endure reproach from the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil behavior and your deeds that were not good. You will loathe yourselves for your sins and your abominations. Not for your sake do I act, oracle of the Lord God. Let this be known to you. Be ashamed and humbled because of your behavior, house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, when I cleanse you of all your guilt, I will resettle the cities and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be tilled, once a wasteland in the eyes of every passerby. They will say, this once desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities once ruined, laid waste and destroyed, are now resettled and fortified. Then the surrounding nations that remain shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will do it." So the Lord commits to renew his love for the people of Israel. In fact, his love never ceased, but was driven to chastisement by the behavior of Israel and all its people. And the Lord's commitment to his people is made even more evident by the vision that comes upon Ezekiel and transports him to a dry and arid desert. Vision of the dry bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he led me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me in the center of a broad valley. It was filled with bones. He made me walk among them in every direction. So many lay on the surface of the valley, how dry they were. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones come back to life?' 'Lord God,' I answered, 'you alone know that.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, listen, I will make breath enter you so that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow over you, cover you with skin, and put breath into you so you may come to life. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied as I had been commanded. A sound started up as I was prophesying, rattling like thunder. The bones came together, bone joining to bone. As I watched, sinews appeared on them, flesh grew over them, skin covered them on top, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, from the four winds come, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may come to life.' I prophesied as he commanded me. and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them, thus says the Lord God, look, I'm going to open your graves. I will make you come up out of your graves, my people, and bring you back to the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and make you come up out of them, my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may come to life, and I will resettle you in your land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it. Oracle of the Lord. So this account is a figurative description of God's creation of a new Israel. This new creation begins with the remains of the old Israel, with the exiles under the image of dry bones. But it's not a totally hopeless situation. The new Israel is radically different. It's an ideal people shaped by God's Spirit to live the covenant faithfully, something the old Israel, exiles included, were unable to do. The word ruah has multiple related meanings. It can mean spirit, wind, or breath. In this translation, ruah is rendered spirit, a powerful force that creates vision and insight, God's Holy Spirit. The first prophecy against Gog, Ezekiel chapter 38. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, turn your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Say, thus says the Lord God, see, I am coming against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws to lead you out with all your army, horses, and riders, all well-armed, a great company, all of them, with bucklers and shields carrying swords. Persia, Cush, and Put with them, all with shields and helmets. Gomer and all its troops, Beth Togarma from the recesses of Zaphon and all its troops, many nations will accompany you. Prepare and get ready. You and the company mobilize for you, but in my service. After many days, you will be called to battle. In the last years, you will invade a land that has survived the sword, a people gathered from many nations back to the long deserted mountains of Israel, brought forth from nations to dwell securely. You shall come up like a sudden storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and the many nations with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day, thoughts shall cross your mind and you shall devise an evil plan. You will say, I will invade a land of open villages and attack a peaceful people who live in security, all of them living without city walls, bars, or gates, in order to plunder and pillage, turning your hand against resettled ruins, against a people gathered from the nations, a people whose concern is cattle and goods, dwelling at the center of the earth. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all its young lions shall ask you, have you come here to plunder? Have you summoned your army for pillage, to carry off silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to seize much plunder? Well, these three oracles against Gog, which are in chapters 38 and 39, describe a mythic attack of God against a final enemy of his people sometime in the future. And like all oracles against the nations, their purpose is to strengthen Israel's hope in God, since they end with God's triumph on behalf of the people. So Gog is a symbolic name, probably derived from Giges, the king of Lydia. Magog may be an Akkadian expression, Matgog, the land of Gog. And Meshach and Tubal, as well as Gomer and Beth Togarma, were countries around the Black Sea. These were the northernmost countries known to the Israelites. And the north was the traditional direction from which invasion was expected. The Assyrians came from the north, the Babylonians came from the north. So this is a mythic war. It does not happen. Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell securely, will you not take action, leaving your base in the recesses of Zaphon, you and many nations with you, all mounted on horses, a great company, a mighty army? You shall rise up over my people Israel like a cloud, covering the land. In those last days, I will let you invade my land so that the nations acknowledge me. When in their sight, I shall show my holiness through you, Gog. Thus says the Lord God, about you I spoke in earlier times through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied at that time that I would let you invade them. But on that day, the day Gog invades the land of Israel, oracle of the Lord God, my fury will flare up in my anger and in my jealousy with fiery wrath. I swear on that day there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Before me will tremble the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the beasts of the field and everything that crawls on the ground, and everyone on the face of the earth. Mountains will be overturned, terraces will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. Against him I will summon every terror, oracle of the Lord God. Every man's sword will be raised against his brother. I will execute judgment on him, disease and bloodshed, flooding, rain and hailstones, fire and brimstone. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and holiness and make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. You, son of man, prophesy against Gog, saying, thus says the Lord God, here I am, Gog, coming at you. Chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, I will turn you around, even though I urged you on and brought you up from the recesses of Zaphon and let you attack the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike the bow from your left hand and make the arrows drop from your right. Upon the mountains of Israel you shall fall, you and all your troops and the people with you. I will give you as food to the birds of prey of every kind and to the wild beasts to be eaten. In the open field you shall fall, for I have spoken, oracle of the Lord God. I will send fire against Magog, against those who live securely on the seacoast, and they will know that I am the Lord. I will reveal my holy name among my people Israel, and I will never again allow my holy name to be defiled. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, it is coming. It shall happen. Oracle of the Lord, this is the day I decreed. Everyone living in the cities of Israel shall go out and set fire to the weapons, buckler and shields and bows and arrows and clubs and spears. For 7 years they shall make fires with them. They will not need to bring in wood from the fields or cut down trees in the forests, for they will make fires with the weapons, plundering those who plundered them, pillaging those who pillaged them. Oracle of the Lord God. On that day I will give Gog a place for his tomb in Israel, the valley of Abarim, east of the sea. I will block the way of travelers. There Gog shall be buried with all his horde. It shall be called Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel shall bury them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land shall take part in the burials, making a name for themselves on the day I am glorified, oracle of the Lord God. Men shall be permanently assigned to pass through the land, burying those who lie unburied in order to cleanse the land. For 7 months they shall keep searching. When these pass through the land and see a human bone, they must set up a marker beside it until the grave diggers bury it in the valley of Hamon Gog. Also, the name of the city is Hamanah. Thus the land will be cleansed. As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, say to the birds of every kind and to every wild beast, assemble, come from all sides for the sacrifice. I am making for you a great slaughter on the mountains of Israel. You shall eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of warriors and drink the blood of princes of the earth, rams, lambs, and goats, and bulls, and fatlings from Bashan, all of them. From the sacrifice I slaughtered for you, you shall eat fat until you are sated and drink blood until you are drunk. At my table you shall be sated with horse and rider, with warrior and soldier of every kind, oracle of the Lord God. So after these prophecies about the symbolic evil of Magog, the Lord shows Ezekiel the restored city of Jerusalem. So all these evil ways are put aside. Jerusalem is ready to be reborn. In the lands of the mythic Magog, they lie to the north. And these stories about Magog are to reassure a faith-filled Judah that the Lord is always with them, no matter what trials or tribulations may come. So the message is basically, when things like this happen, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't turn to the idols like they did before. Trust in the Lord, and they will be well. Now, while Babylon may be descending, there are others who exert their power against the people of Israel. There will come the Persians, and then the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and then the Seleucid Greeks. And after that, there will be a brief period of independence, and then the ultimate power of Rome. will be upon the people. So this is what these stories of Magog are about. And all this will happen until the coming of the Messiah. So now we go to Ezekiel chapter 40, the man with a measure. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, so let's see, Ezekiel was 30 when he was first exiled, so now he's 55. 14 years after the city had been captured, on that very day, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me back there. In a divine vision, he brought me to the land of Israel, where he set me down on a very high mountain. In front of me, there was something like a city built on it, and he brought me there. And there, standing in the gateway, was a man whose appearance was like bronze. He held in his hand a linen cord and a measuring rod. And the man said to me, "Son of man, look carefully and listen intently. Pay strict attention to everything I show you, for you have been brought here so that I might show it to you. Then you must tell the house of Israel everything you see." Then he led me out to the gate facing east, and there was the glory of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the vision I had seen by the river Chebar in my 30th year. And I fell on my face. The glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the inner court, and there the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and asked him to prophesy against Israel and return to the laws and regulations imposed from the beginning, which he does. And the temple must not have any other building entering into it or adjoining it in any other way. And the Spirit of the Lord comes back to the temple. And the Levites are now reduced to gatekeepers. Nobody who is not a believer may enter the temple courtyards. The priests must now dress and act as was originally imposed on them by Moses. No priest may marry a divorced woman or a widow unless she's the widow of a priest. And the Passover, the Feast of Booths, and Sabbaths must be celebrated as described by Moses. So the people must rediscover who they are and how God loves them. Now we have the wonderful stream, Ezekiel chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw water flowing out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water flowed out toward the right side of the temple to the south of the altar. He brought me by way of the north gate and around the east to the outer gate facing east, and there I saw water trickling from the southern side. When he continued eastward with a measuring cord in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. It had me wade through the water. It was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and once more he had me wade through the water. It was up to my knees. He measured 1,000 cubits and had me wade through the water. It was up to my waist. Once more he measured off 1,000 cubits. Now it was a river. I could not wade across. The water had risen so high I would have to swim, a river that was impassable. Then he asked me, "Do you see this, son of man?" He brought me to the bank of the river and had me sit down. As I was returning, I saw along the bank of the river a great many trees on each side. He said to me, "This water flows out into the eastern district, runs down into the Arabah, and empties into the polluted waters of the sea to freshen them. Wherever it flows, the river teems with every kind of living creature. Fish will abound. Where these waters flow, they refresh. Everything lives where the river goes." Now, this water is coming out of the temple. Now, does that not remind us of divine mercy, the water flowing out of Christ, the living temple? Continuing, "Fishermen will stand along its shore from En-Gedi to En-Gallam, and it will become a place for drying nets, and it will abound with as many fish, kinds of fish, as the great sea. Its marshes and swamps shall not be made fresh, but will be left for salt. Along each bank of the river, every kind of fruit tree will grow. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fresh fruit, because the waters of the river flow out from the sanctuary. The fruit is used for food, and the leaves for healing. Every month they will bear fresh fruit." Go check out the book of Revelation. You'll see that same remark. The gates of the city. These are the exits from the city. The gates are named after the tribes of Israel. On the north, three gates: the gate of Reuben, one; the gate of Judah, one; the gate of Levi, one. On the east, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates: the gate of Joseph, one; the gate of Benjamin, one; the gate of Dan, one. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates: the gate of Simeon, one; the gate of Issachar, one; the gate of Zebulun, one. On the west side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates: the gates of Gad, one; the gate of Asher, one; the gate of Naphtali, one. The circuit of the city shall be 18,000 cubits. From now on, the name of the city is The Lord Is There. So the book of Ezekiel, assembled sometime after these events, records ends with this statement about the place of Jerusalem in human history as the place where the Lord is. And the prophecies of Ezekiel end on a note of hope for the people of Israel and the whole world. The promises and covenants of the Lord are intact. Like a child who misbehaves, Israel has had to be chastised with her sins addressed. And while there's still much suffering to be endured, the book of Ezekiel is one of hope for the future in all ages. The promise of a Messiah from the Davidic covenant is still to be realized. So let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.